You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to an unhappy post-game edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. And as you probably know by now, Rockets went down Saturday night in Atlanta, 112-97, the reunion game with Dwight Howard. Not a great night for the Rockets, scored just 38 points in the second half, and really struggled on the interiors where it started. Both Dwight Howard and Paul Millsap had 20-plus points, 10-plus rebounds. Rockets just looked overmatched near the rim. It was another great night for James Harden with 30 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds, over 50% shooting. But a lot of his damage came in the first half when he had 24-9, just an otherworldly performance. But I never had my hopes especially high, because even when the Rockets were competitive, it was 65-59 at the break. The degree of difficulty on the shots the Rockets were making was very high. So it was not really sustainable. Eventually, they were going to miss some shots, and the Hawks were just simply getting too good of looks near the rim. You could tell that even when it was close, the Hawks just got a better quality of shots. And first off, you have to give credit to them. The Hawks are 4-2, Rockets now 3-3. But the Hawks at 4-2, their point differential is better than 10 per game. So this is a really good team led by a coach in Mike Budenholzer that prioritizes ball movement. He gets good defense out of his players. So it's a loss. I wouldn't say it's quite as sexy of a loss as the really close one in Cleveland, but it's certainly understandable. I think some folks are overreacting. Some of the reaction seems to be, well, the Rockets are 3-3. Here they're a 500 team, just like last year. No, I mean, two of the three losses at Cleveland, at Atlanta, you're talking about elite teams in the Eastern Conference. Five of the six games have been on the road as well, so it's tough to have any real takeaways in terms of the sample for this season. Big picture, the deficiencies. Mike D'Antoni said after the game that he thought the Rockets didn't play defense well enough. I would buy that to an extent, but I also think it's being overplayed, because Mike D'Antoni, that's all he really can say. Mike D'Antoni is focused on the guys that are in his locker room right now. He's got to think, what can I do to get these guys better ready to play 48 hours later in Washington? That's his job as a head coach. From a practical standpoint, this is more an issue of roster deficiency. First and foremost, I thought this was a game, as I said on Twitter, where they really missed Donatas Moneyunas. When the Hawks were able to make it a half-court game, that's where the Rockets struggled in the second half, only scored 38 points. We've talked before about Clint Capela and Nene up front. Each has a deficiency. Nene, he can score, although he wasn't particularly great at scoring on Saturday night, just 2 points and 1 of 5 shooting in his 12 minutes. But even if Nene is having a good night offensively at center, he's a liability with rebounds on rotation defense. He's just a step slow at 34 years old, and even on his good nights, he's always going to be one of the worst rebounding centers in the league. Clint Capela and Montrezl Harrell, they each lack a little bit of sand in their shorts, to use an expression I've used a bit the last couple of days on this show. Clint had a good statistical game. He had 10 rebounds in 21 minutes, but he wasn't a huge rim protector, as evidenced by the big games that both Paul Millsap and Dwight Howard had from an offensive perspective. So when you look at this roster, I spent a lot of time Friday breaking down Nene versus Capela in the middle and why they're splitting the minutes 24-24. Now, Montrezl Harrell got in a little bit Saturday night as well. But by and large, the big takeaway beyond just how the Rockets are structuring the minutes is that when you look at the analytics, none of those three, Capela, Nene, or Harrell, grades out as an above-average center. You're mixing and matching, but at best, you're talking about three league-average type guys, and where they all fall short to a degree is on the defensive end. Capela is your best from a big picture rebound, shot blocks, topical numbers, but he doesn't protect the rim that well. Nene's defensive metrics are poor because of the rebounding, because of the lack of rotation. Montrezl Harrell at 6'7", 6'8", is undersized, and he's not a great rotation player defensively either. So this was a game where Donatas Moneyunas' absence was felt, because if you have Moneyunas, Yes, he's a good low post player on offense, and that would help some, give you another option to get easier buckets. But defensively, he graded out, especially pre-injury, very, very well. He's someone that can defend in the post. He can throw his body around. Yes, he's an average rebounder, where the Rockets struggle. It's more than just simply needing rebounds. It's being able to hold their own against guys like Paul Millsap and Dwight Howard on the low block. So this is a game, in short, Monty Unis is a good half-court defensive player, and that's what they need more of. You hope that maybe Capella can develop into that over time, but he's certainly not there yet. Even though, again, 12 points, 10 rebounds, and 21 minutes, good statistical game for Clint. Also had 5 fouls in those 21 minutes, and that's something that's been a problem for him whenever he goes up against big-time opponents at the center position. He tends to reach, he tends to gamble. I think also this was a game where the Rockets missed Pat Beverly on the perimeter. Because one thing Mike Budenholzer's offense in Atlanta does, there's a lot of ball movement. And so whereas a lot of games you can put Trevor Ariza, Corey Brewer, someone that you trust as a one-on-one defender on the opposition's top perimeter playmaker and have some success, when you have a system that has as much ball movement as this does, they have a way of finding your weak spots. And when you're starting Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, to a lesser extent, James Harden, there's always going to be something you can exploit and get to the rim. And so with Capella, that's where it ties in, because he thinks he needs to help, and when he helps, he reaches and he picks up silly fouls. And that's how you get 5 fouls in 21 minutes, which just is not going to cut it when it comes to being a true rim protector in the NBA. Return of Pat Beverly will certainly help some. Rockets hope that's a week or two away. It could be as late as early December, but it looks like November 15th to the 21st, sometime in that week, is what Pat is targeting. And this was a game where they could certainly use him because, as I said, the way Atlanta moved the ball, they were always able to find some sort of mismatch. And that's why this was a particularly brutal game. 4 of the 5 Hawks starters shot better than 50% from the field. Dennis Schroeder, who was the only one below, shot 6 of 14, including 2 of 5 from 3. So this was a superb game from the Hawks from an efficiency perspective. As a team, they shot 53%, 40% from 3. Those are just fantastic numbers, and it shows you that, you know, the Rockets, they really lost this game on the defensive end. And so, yes, there's some hope. We heard Friday from Mark Stein of ESPN that the Rockets are starting a new round of negotiations with Monty Unis with first-year offer of $7-plus million. You have to hope he eventually takes it. I do think there's going to be movement soon because, as I've said before, Monty Unis can't simply not play. Whether it be with the Rockets, whether it be in Europe, he's going to have to play this year if he wants to reestablish his value when he's a free agent next summer. And it's pretty clear that he's not going to get the value on this contract that he thinks he deserves. So be it the Rockets, Europe, he's going to have to make a decision fairly soon. There's also, as Stein said, kind of a deadline for the Rockets of November 23rd because they need to sign him by then if he's going to be trade eligible. So there's a lot of forces that's going to push for some resolution soon. And I think this was a game on both sides of the court where they could use him. Certainly he's a better defensive big, graded out than anyone they have up front, better than Nene and Harrell clearly. I'd also say even better than Capella, certainly better than Ryan Anderson at the four spot, but also offensively, because this was another game. Yeah, defense was the leading headline, but as I said leading off, Rockets scored just 38 points in the second half. And in the first half, they scored 59. It wasn't as if their offense was great. It was just James Harden having an, oh my God, out of this world performance. What I saw was that when the Hawks were able to buckle down and force the Rockets into a half-court game, other than James Harden doing incredible James Harden things, the Rockets struggled to execute their normal offense. And even after getting off to a good start from the field, they shot just 33% from 3. Ryan Anderson just 4 of 13. Eric Gordon, 3 of 11. So this is where Monty Unis could help you as well, because he's an option on the low block that you have to respect. He's also a good passer, which Ryan Anderson is not at the power forward position. Neither is Clint Capella at center. So yes, he would help you defensively. He would also help you a little bit in terms of breaking the stagnation that I think the Rockets saw in this game. The other thing, and a lot of people aren't going to want to hear it, but it's true, this is just going to be a weakness for the Rockets all year long. Thankfully, there are not too many teams like the Hawks that can grind you the way they do, turn it into a half-court game, move the ball like the Spurs do. But when they do, that's the deficiency for the Rockets. They let Dwight Howard walk. They essentially removed his salary and allocated that money to Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, two great shooters from the perimeter. But big picture, the Rockets lost a lot of rim protection and a little bit of ability to score around the bucket. Now, Dwight Howard's certainly not a great post player, but with his body, he can score at times, as evidenced by the 20 points he had Saturday night on 8 of 10 shooting. So the Rockets, big picture, this is a transition season in which you hope they win 50 games and are a mid-tier playoff team, but they are certainly not the Warriors, they're not the Cavs, they're not the Spurs, they're not at that level. And the reason they're not is because you only have one elite player in James Harden. Everybody else, there are a lot of nice pieces, but there's nothing you can count on consistently on a night-in, night-out basis. The big step for this team, you hope that you have a positive showing this year. You make James Harden look like a guy that top free agents want to play with, and then you add a free agent next summer. That's the model to give that 1-2 punch, to give Harden that wingman that he needs, and it's probably going to need to be around the basket. You hope this year that the additions of Pat Beverly and Monty Unis will help some. You hope that Clint Capela can continue to improve and take some steps. This is Capela's first year as a starter, so hopefully in a few months he'll be better than he is today. So you can make a case for some internal growth, and maybe if you play a team like the Hawks in March or April, you'd get a better result than you get now in November. But big picture, to consistently avoid situations like this, you need a more dynamic presence inside. Maybe Paul Millsap is the guy, because we all know Paul Millsap is going to be a free agent next summer, and he's someone I'm sure the Rockets will target. But offensively, they need someone who can score on the low block and get them buckets when defenses like Atlanta are able to turn it into a half-court game. Defensively, they need someone they can count on, quite frankly, not to get abused. The way Ryan Anderson and Dene often are in some of these matchups, as we saw against the Hawks, as we saw at times against the Cavs and Lakers, and the two other losses the Rockets have had this year. So you hope for some internal improvement with Beverly, Monty Unis, Capela taking a step forward. But big picture, this shows you what the Rockets lack. Paul Millsap and Dwight Howard inside, they just outclassed what the Rockets have to offer. And right now, you hope the Rockets are going to be a fun team. They're going to have a lot of matchups, as evidenced by the Knicks and the Mavs games, that they can exploit and score a lot of points and look fun. But games like this, this is why the Rockets are not a serious contender. And for them to take the next step, it's probably going to be adding another dynamic player on the interior to give Harden a compliment, especially in the half court. Because essentially this was a game where the Hawks, they just grinded the Rockets. And eventually, once James Harden's shots stopped falling at the absurd astronomical rate they did in the first half, it caught up with the Rockets and they just could not stay level. Now, the upside as we look to the final two games of this road trip, Rockets are now 3-3 overall. They're 1-2 on this current five-game road trip. They're in Washington on Monday night, and then in San Antonio on Saturday. In San Antonio on Wednesday night, before coming home to play the Spurs again next Saturday night in Houston. Now, of the two road games, the good news, I would say from a defensive perspective, the Hawks are tougher than either the Wizards or the Spurs. I know the Spurs are extremely well coached, but without Tim Duncan, basically replacing Tim Duncan with Pau Gasol, you're not going to have the defensive versatility and flexibility that the Hawks did. That's going to be a team that the Rockets can compete with, at least on the offensive end. Now, certainly, defensively, the Spurs move the ball as well as ever. Kawhi Leonard is playing fantastic basketball. LaMarcus Aldridge always seems to torch the Rockets. So, yeah, the Rockets are going to have their work cut out for them when it comes to slowing the Spurs on the defensive end for Houston. But when Houston has the ball on offense, I don't think either team is going to be able to grind them the way the Hawks did. There's a reason the Clippers blew out the Spurs in San Antonio last night. Pau Gasol in the middle is a big drop-off for them relative to Tim Duncan. And really, starting Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge side by side, that's something that that you can really do some damage against if you're the Rockets, potentially with their spacing option. So even though the Spurs are a really good team, I don't think they're going to be quite as brutal of a matchup as the Hawks were. And the Wizards, this is hopefully a get-right game for the Rockets. Wizards off to a terrible start, 1-4, point differential of negative 6.6. Certainly not going to be easy. You're playing in Washington. They're desperate for a win. They still have John Wall. But if the Rockets are able to get that game Monday night, at a bare minimum, you secure 4-4 coming home. And I think you would gladly take that with 7 of the first 8 on the road, including matchups with Cleveland, Atlanta, San Antonio. This was a brutal start. So if the Rockets can get out at 4-4, given the tough schedule, given the absence of Beverly and Monta Ellis, given the new parts, I think that would gladly take it. So hopefully you execute in Washington on Monday evening. Wizards, not an especially great defensive team, giving up 104 a game, negative 6.6 point differential. So I would say the Rockets probably going to be favored in this game. It'll be close because the Wizards are not as bad as their record and they're at home. I'm going to guess Rockets favored by 2 or 3. But if they can get that game and get home at 4-4, I think you feel pretty good about how they started this season. Saturday night, a lot of people are down. But again, this is a team that is a bad matchup for the Rockets. It'll get a little bit better when Pat Beverly returns. Hopefully Donatus Mateunis does as well. But big picture, I mean, we knew the Rockets were going to have their limitations this year. And the way that the Hawks were able to grind them on Saturday night in Atlanta was, you know, it should just be a reminder of the Rockets are who we thought they were. They're a fun team. They have a lot of scoring. They have a lot of up-tempo ability with the likes of James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Ryan Anderson. But if you can grind them into a half-court setting, they don't really have an option that they can go to on the low block or even around the basket to consistently get points. And defensively, it's just tough for them because they don't really have a true rim protector. And other than Trevor Ariza, until Pat Beverly gets back, they don't really have someone that can regularly deny penetration. So you don't have a rim protector. You don't have really a great rebounder other than Clint Capella. And your perimeter guys aren't able to stop the ball on a regular basis. Now, you do have some guys. You have Trevor Ariza. You have Corey Brewer. You have Pat Beverly when he comes back that can, you know, you can put them on someone like, say, John Wall Monday night and have a bit of success. But where it gets tricky against a team like Atlanta, as I said, they move the ball from side to side. Teams like that will eventually find the mismatch, and the Rockets, we know what their defensive limitations are, and they're just going to have to mitigate it as best they can. Mike D'Antoni said after the game, he said the right things, which is, well, we've got to play better defense. It's true. I mean, that's what you got to say. Just buckle down, play harder, and sure, you can always technically play harder, but I don't think that's really the story. That's just what Mike D'Antoni has to say because that's what this roster is, and he's got to work with it. It's his job to take the pieces that are in place and give the Rockets the best chance to win on a given night. But big picture, it's not about effort. It's not about the Rockets not trying hard enough or need to be more locked in. It's just about the limitations that we knew they had entering this season. And so big picture, you've just got to hope for, you know, additions externally. And for short term, that'd be bringing back Beverly, hopefully bringing back Monta Ellis. Midterm, hopefully it's Clint Capella continuing to develop. But long-term, it's eventually adding another star to James Harden in free agency, preferably someone who can be a bit of a force around the basket to match up better against bigger teams like the Atlanta Hawks. On that note, I'm going to wrap up. Again, thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Ben Dubose of SportsTalk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can always email me at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions about this team or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing podcast. Again, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be talking with you again tomorrow when the Rockets take on the Wizards in Washington, D.C. Good night.